to remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you very much, Kelly. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is a CCI call on the 19th of June, 2012. On the call today, we have Cheryl Longanall, Michael Graham, Tobias Marler, Rosemary Sinclair, and Steve Del Bianco. We have an apology from Carlos Aguirre. Julie Headland will be joining the call, but for the second half only. From staff, we have Barry Cobb, Glenda Saint-Giry, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. I would like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Rosemary.
Thanks, Natalie. And I think, looking at our agenda, it might be over to Barry to run through the open action items.
Great. This is Barry for the transcript. Basically, there were three quick ones. We'll just update the next version of the public comment survey tool. Created a 1.3 draft of the advice letter, which basically contains practically all the updates that have been suggested thus far. And then lastly was to create the next version of the PowerPoint, which we should probably review through real quick.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks, Barry. So, yes, I think if we go to the PowerPoint, and just for me to make the point that I was just chatting with a few people on this call, it's not going to be possible for me to be in Prague. So I think we probably need to do what we did last time, which is to indicate the presenter. And I'm hoping Steve is happy to be the presenter and then me as the chair of the working group.
Yeah, I'll be there in Prague. Happy to do it.
Thanks, Steve. Okay, so with that, we can dive into it, Barry.
And that's first thing Saturday morning at 9:30, I believe, Saturday morning.
Yeah, we should just check all the time, shouldn't we?
This is Barry. I've made the update to the PowerPoint put the presenter as Steve. I'm not sure if y'all have had a chance to review the GNSO Council email archive, fresh news is that it looks like the GAC GNSO session on Sunday has been canceled. Stefan's trying to work to get that back on the agenda. They tried finding other time slots throughout the week with no success. So right now we're 50-50 as to whether we'll be briefing the GAC on consumer metrics or not.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but 9 o'clock on Sunday, was it, Barry?
Saturday.
9:30 Saturday. Okay, I'll have a think about that. Yep,
okay,
let's go.
So for this version of the PowerPoint, I slimmed it down to try to make it as thin as possible, and we'll just go through each slide, and if notify me whether we should keep the slide or not or make any changes, and I'll make those edits in real time on my end. So the first slide here is basically much of this presentation was pulled from the pre-Prague policy update, and so that definitely helped shorten the overall presentation. The main takeaway from this slide, as which we've used before, is that this is critical from the AOC review team and critical to measuring the success of the new GTLD program.
Can I make a comment on that?
Sure, Steve.
First bullet on this slide makes it seem as if it's board only. And I love what you said, but it isn't what we've written. This thing started with the affirmation. The board picked up on the affirmation and, of course, if adopted. So I'm happy to wordsmith with you a little bit, Barry, but I'd love to start this slide, slide 3, with the fact that the affirmation requires a review of the new GTLD program with respect to consumer trust, choice, and competition. And then that's the 2009 affirmation. Then we say in December 2010, the board requested advice, blah, 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 and if adopted. To make three bullets where we start with the affirmation on that.
Yep.
Do you want to wordsmith it on this call, Rosemary, or just have me propose some edits to all?
I think it's probably best if you just propose the edits, because I think everyone agrees would agree with the point.
Thanks. So go ahead, Barry.
So what I have for the first bullet is the 2009 Affirmation of Commitments requires a review of the new GTLD program.
Yeah, for a review as to whether the new GTLD program improved consumer trust, consumer choice, and competition, period. And then the second bullet can be what you have there for 2010, but it can be a little shorter. You could end with those measures, period. How about that? See?
Mm-hmm.
And then keep your, if adopted by the future review team, affirmation review team is probably good enough. Affirmations review team, comma, the advice will be critical in measuring the success. All I'm saying is that keep things in chronological order. The affirmation came before the board resolution. I would just start with it.
Okay, I think I captured that, and shortly after this call, I'll send out a quick update to you just to make sure I captured it correctly.
Awesome.
Okay, slide four is basically the recent developments, which only talks about how the working group was formed, how we created the draft advice and closed out the public comment session, and that we're about 75% review through the public comments.
If we do well today, I would hope that number will go up. And how are we measuring it? The total quantity of comments or the rows of our table?
Thumb in the wind.
Okay. Let's see where we are today in terms of the number of rows in our table. I mean, I hope we're closer to a better number, but we agree. We can't say that we're going to be complete.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks.
Then I moved on to the working group purpose, which was a slide that we used in Costa Rica. Okay. And then I moved into the definitions. This slide contains the latest changes to consumer trust and consumer choice. We haven't reviewed through competition as of yet. But it does match what we have listed in the next version of our advice letter.
Mm-hmm.
Can we drop the asterisk note from the next two slides? The whole thing comes with that qualification. And I'll promise to say it verbally. I promise.
Okay.
I don't know. I think we might need that in writing.
Do you want to have a process conversation, Cheryl?
Absolutely. You know, me and process.
Okay.
Cheryl, I keep thinking of Cheryl with those sheep shears and the...
Well, if that helps,
that was
you,
only,
that's fine.
Cheryl, that was only in the chat. We don't want that in the transcript. Carry on, Barry, please.
So I removed both of the asterisk notes here.
Mm-hmm.
So now from the last call, as I understood it, we only wanted to list those types of metrics that are probably the most controversial or not necessarily controversial, but will garner the most attention. So I just took a shot at the dark on these five. Definitely we can add or remove as we need.
I would add, thanks, Barry, and I think just call it key issues or remaining issues as opposed to the word metrics in the title.
Yeah.
I realize there are issues with respect to metrics, but the reason these are up here is... Well, maybe what I was getting at is bringing up highlights or issues to be resolved, things that are holding us up, items that we're struggling with. But let me first see what the group thinks about that. It's only a few minutes to get to slide seven,
yeah.
And then there's only one or two slides left. So slide seven might be where we would spend time taking questions and explaining, struggling with. It's where we have an opportunity to talk about costs versus benefits and sort of set that aside politely.
Yeah.
Talk about the lots of lively debate over defensive registration.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're duplicate or redirect or intentional. We talk about the surveys. And I think, Barry, you've really covered a lot of the key things here.
Rosemary here. Yes, if we took the title and changed it from proposed advice letter metrics to working group projects, hot topics or hot issues, something like that. Maybe you don't want to use hot, but to indicate to people that we want some dialogue in these issues, you know, we're open to the conversation. Does that work better, Steve?
Yeah, great idea. So it's almost like letting them in on what we are wrestling
yeah.
with to get
yeah.
this.
This is Michael. I'm wondering if in that sense, perhaps somewhere up there, I mean, this is also part of the public comments, so it's almost public comments review, you know, hot issues,
mm-hmm.
Since it's coming out of the public comments period and it's still
mm-hmm.
something that we're considering.
Mm-hmm.
How about
yeah, that's a great idea. Public comments review dash key issues.
Yeah.
How about, what do you folks think of that? Key issues.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Sure,
Rosemary.
Yeah, I like the terminology. Go on.
Rosemary here. We haven't caught the economic study cost benefit issue.
Yeah, you're right. And let's put that in. Mm. Is that
the bullet.
As well.
Overall program costs and benefits as a bullet.
Yep.
So it's a neutral bullet. GTLD expansion program costs and benefits as the bullet.
Okay, I've added that bullet as number two, and then we move into the consumer trust and the rest of the metric.
What about putting it last?
You don't want to start with a strong one?
Yeah, because I'm thinking that we will already have demonstrated that we're measuring many of the elements of costs and some of the elements of benefits, but we are making no attempt to say that we've captured them all in a way that gives a quantifiable net benefit.
Mm.
Like, well, it'll be more credible to make that claim in case any GAC reps are in the room, because they'll have heard about all the great metrics that already do cover costs and some benefits. And the last count, aren't we over 40 in terms of metric in the tables?
Yes, I just wanted to keep it 30-plus just so that, you know, I didn't want to nail down a specific number. We can go down 40-plus or something along those lines because it's fluid right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get your count. Okay, we're at 46. How about 40-plus then? 40-plus. Would you go with that?
Done.
Make the second bullet surveys of consumer trust and choice.
Okay.
And more than likely we'll embellish the competition key issues on today's call. And I would remove the double asterisk red disclaimer.
And Rosemary here, and then the economic cost-benefit point goes last. Steve, I've just lost the plot here.
Yeah, I think so, Rosemary. Cause
okay.
And it's overall GTLD expansion program costs and benefits.
Costs and benefits or costs versus benefits?
Let's say costs and.
Any other comments for this slide?
No, all good.
Next steps are nice and easy. We just will submit the final version, hopefully in July.
I think you need to that bullet, to whom we are submitting it. And you'll see why in a minute. Aren't we sending it to the all four ACSOs, our charter only sort of anticipates one group may vote on it, but we're going to give it to all four ACSOs, aren't we?
Yes.
Well,
I
think we need to discuss when we do that, and I was mulling over this morning. We're chartered by the GNSO Council, so it seems to me that we ought to go back to GNSO Council in the first instance which then leaves us with the issue of when do we make the advice available to other ACs and SO. And I'm just not sure myself just the sequence in which we should do that.
This is Barry. Per brief conversation in the last meeting, which stemmed from the last CNSO council call, I suspect that community members on the council will push for deliberation on the council before it's passed along to other SOs or ACs. But
yes.
I'm not clear on the exact authority as to who rules, overrules which.
Yeah, but I don't know that it's entirely fair to Cheryl and Olivier and others who participated who are not in GNSO to claim that they can't take the product of their working group adulterated to their own ACSO.
Cheryl, here. We're kind of
not allowed to share it. We're not allowed to share it until council has its say. I don't feel right about that.
Steve,
yeah.
Cheryl here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Cheryl.
Steve, Cheryl here. Look, to be honest, we're used to it from the GNSO Council. Leave it up there, and we'll just talk to it slightly differently when we use the slide deck to project in our own room and indicate that this is, of course, a GNSO design slide deck and that ALAC has had strong representation in it and would predict, as we did in the interim report pre-public comment, that our views will be fairly close to being in lockstep to the advice letter. Leave it with us. We're used to stepping around the senseless.
Would Cheryl, thank you for taking one for the team, but don't go so fast. On the chat, if you have visibility,
I'm unable to get in as yet, but I'm working on it.
Right, and I proposed two rewordings of the first bullet to turn into two bullets. I'll read it out loud and see what the team thinks. The first bullet would be, working group gives final version of advice letter to GNSO Council in July-2012.
Mm-hmm.
Second bullet, other AC/SOs may also consider advice letter.
Mm-hmm.
Might even be that we enumerate ALAC, DCNSO, and GAC may also consider draft advice letter.
Mm-hmm.
They were asked for advice by the board.
Yep.
And we would hope, we've been saying this all along, we would hope that the ALAC, DCNSO, and GAC would consider what we've done and work from there rather than start from scratch, and they all seem on board with it.
Yes, Rosemary here, and it's I might just take this one, if it's okay with everybody, and just go back to the charter, because I think we've got words in the charter that will help us with this issue of following the process, being that we're GNSO chartered, but doing what we have always intended to do, which is to make this work available to the community for consideration as part of the review. So, and I think if we just absolutely stick with those words, then we'll be on good ground here.
Cheryl here, Rosemary. However, I'm very aware of the shortness of time that Barry and everyone has to get this stuff finalised, loaded, and, you know, off to Prague.
Yeah.
If there's any issue and delay, and if there's any feeling, as there could very well be, that one or more people in the GNSO Council may focus unnecessarily on this, to quote Steve, happy to take one for the team, and I'm sure Olivia will agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know, the way I've worded it, it's just reality. The ALAC, CCNSO, and GAC may also consider advice letter. They're going to have copies. They may also consider it. They may not wait for council to do anything, and they don't need to.
Sure.
They don't even need to look at our draft advice.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Rosemary, please do. Please look at the charter. You're very skilled at that, and let us know whether you think that would inform it. But I would say to, for draft purposes, I put in the chat a number one and a number two, and happy to have you fix those if you find things from the charter that dictate otherwise.
Okay, fine.
Michael here, very quickly, I'm just looking at the first page of the redraft of the advice. And the second subheadliner reads, prepared by the Consumer Trust Working Group for ALAC, GAC, CCNSO, and GNSO's consideration. I think that
That's our aspiration, but Rosemary's right, Michael. The charter itself was strictly a GNSO charter, and Rosemary's trying to be faithful to what we were chartered to do. Like you, I'm endeavoring to inform the council that this is a community-wide issue, and others will look at our advice, and we hope they do. It's sort of a little prod for council to get moving, take the lead.
I suppose it may be in the charter. I'm just wondering. I mean, what I was thinking initially was our advice in presenting this to the GNSO would also be that it share this with the other groups for their consideration as well.
And Rosemary here, I'm wondering if the way to do this is to take that background point and put it at the beginning of the slide deck, just to remind everybody of the kind of breadth of this work. So I'll have a go at that as soon as we finish the call. And just
keep in mind that the very first bullet on the very first slide three.
Yes.
Lays out not only the fact that the affirmation is there, but it says that the board resolution requested advice from all four ACSOs.
Yes.
So it's sort of the notion that the board is waiting to hear from all four of us is laid out on slide three.
Yes.
So GNSO might be maybe the one who's most organized, but it's had participation from at least one other, and the others may weigh in. I doubt very much, and I don't mind that this is being recorded. I very much doubt the GAC will do formal written advice. I think that the U.S. government took the lead and gave very substantive advice to us, some of which we are going to embrace, some of which we may not. And the GAC may wait until the board considers it to speak up again. But I don't think the GAC will weigh in separately. Do you think the ALAC, Cheryl, will the ALAC do a separate effort to prepare advice?
excuse me, Cheryl, for the transcript record. The ALAC has already agreed that in the main and majority, we expect to, having contributed to the advice letter, to have pretty much straight endorsement. That you can never predict. There's often the odd embellishment or comment that comes in. But I would certainly not expect the core and then probably even the majority, if not all, of the commentary coming from the ALAC being nothing more than an endorsement of the letter we will be preparing in this work group. And just while I've got the microphone, Rosemary, just for the record, of course, we recognise that from an ALAC perspective, that the GNSO is the one most organised by chartering this work group, but it is purely on the basis of senselessness and sensibilities that we did not push for co-chartering or joint activities. So, you know, we are all riding on this particular train for very good reasons, even though some of us are hanging off the roof.
Yes,
Rosemary, may I ask another question of Cheryl, please?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Cheryl, scheduling-wise, if we were to get this in front of GNSO in time for their July telecon, what is the ALAC meeting schedule like?
Last Tuesday in July.
Last Tuesday in July.
Last Tuesday in every month.
Got it. So that would be, Barry, that would be after council has considered it in July, you know, assuming we get ourselves done.
And therefore it would be a simple thing to put in. We also have the well-designed luxury that Olivier has the ability to put anything in front of his committee intersessionally anyway.
Got it. And therein lies the rationale for my number two, which was ALAC, CCNSO, and GAC may also consider the advice letter at any time. And they can do so in Prague, even though council won't have formally done anything with our letter. Anyway.
And just to make really clear, we do have a briefing session for the ALAC and the at-large leadership and community scheduled in Prague. Natalie may be able to help me, but I don't think we need the date
recorded for the purposes of this exercise at this call, but we do have a briefing session, so we will be intending, and I don't know whether it's me or Olivia, I have a sneaking suspicion it's me, to use this slide deck that with a slightly faster pace.
Okay, Rosemary here. So I think I'll just have a review. Let's say that we accept Steve's 2 points, and I'll have just a little think about it very, very quickly and get back to everybody if I've got any other thoughts on how we do it. But it would be interesting perhaps if Steve were to let people know in the presentation that ALAC is also having a briefing and discussion at Prague in their consideration of the advice letter.
Cheryl here, Rosemary. Steve, leave that totally to your discretion. You know how to play the room.
And it's not just the consideration of our draft, but, I mean, literally the 3 bullets on there, I'd have to add a parenthetical to the last bullet.
Yeah.
What it says, for your benefit, Cheryl, is, quote, if adopted, GNSO Council will submit the advice to the ICANN board.
Yeah.
But the parenthetical after that is GAC, ALAC, and CCNSO may also submit advice to the ICANN board.
Yeah. I don't know. My gut just tells me, you know, why poke a sleeping bear? Just let's walk past.
Okay.
Okay, so how I have this slide structured now is the first bullet, the working group will submit to the GNSO Council. GNSO Council will deliberate advice. Other SOs, ACs may also consider advice letter. And then the fourth, if adopted, GNSO Council will submit the advice letter to the ICANN board.
Sounds good.
I think that's fine. Rosemary here.
Okay, the last slide is the timeline. I adjusted a couple of the bars from our previous version. I moved forward a little bit, the staff begins recording metrics just because I think the sooner they can start some of the baseline metrics, the better. And then the affirmation review, everything else is pretty much the same. And then I also extended out the new GPLDs delegated.
May I make a the bar for an affirmation review should be at the same point of the year as the delegation, so it needs to move, you know, to April. The affirmation review is not supposed to begin until 1 year after. So the whole chart can be slid forward, so it goes into mid-2015 instead of Jan 2015. I can do that, Barry, if you want. I was the one who doctored the slide up. I think you know how to work with it.
Right. Well, this is a question I have, and I'm not sure if the working group is aware of this, but ICANN staff will be submitting basically implementation notes along with the advice letter. It's starting off as an internal review that, you know, we acknowledge the definitions, the complexity of the metrics program. There will be a very rough sizing analysis around cost and those kinds of things. Once it's cleared internally, it'll also be submitted along to the ICANN board and made public. One of the aspects to this, and which I'm unclear of at this point, is exactly when this future review team will be first formed, and then you know, approximately a year time frame for them to shape the metrics program and then turn it over for ICANN for implementation. Given the size and complexity of this metrics program, I'm wondering if it's possible that this particular review team could be formed much earlier to start establishing the framework as opposed to waiting till after PLD is already delegated. And the reason I say this is because many of the requirements that are going to be needed for this package are pretty complex, not to mention budgetary concerns and those kinds of things. And it almost seems like it would be more advantageous for the community if they could get started sooner than where we're showing right now.
Can I speak to that, Rosemary? Cheryl here.
Yes, Cheryl. Yeah.
Having served on one of these joyous things and having been closely involved in the creation, at least from an unofficial point of view, and organising the mechanisms for how the other two would be populated, the answer to that, Barry, is staff should advise the board of these complications as clearly, as concisely and as quickly as they can, but it is 100% and absolutely up to the chairman of the board in cooperation with the CEO and the GAC lead. So you've got a couple of unknowns, GAC being relatively unknown on all of this, because we don't even know who will be leading the GAC, chairing the GAC at that time. You probably need to also encourage NTIA. I think Uncle Lawrence needs to pop a little pressure in the right places here as well, because I hear what you're saying, and I'd be very, very disappointed if we didn't get the system set up properly in advance of what is possibly as important, if not even more important, than the Accountability and Transparency Review is.
Thanks, Cheryl. Steve's just reminding us of the actual words in the chat. It says
12 months after, yeah.
Yeah, has been in operation for 1 year, ICANN will organise. I'm going to suggest that we actually make the point that Barry wants to make in a visual way. Instead of having a solid blue block from January 2014, if we could have kind of dashes on that block, Barry, until the middle, say April of 2014, to indicate that there needs to be a preparation period to assist the review to start on the 12-month period. So if we could make that point visually. The way we're making the point at the moment with this diagram, it means everything starts as if the review starts 2014.
If I could, Rosemary?
Sure, Steve.
Thank you. And Barry, before you repeat that, I wanted to offer one slightly different interpretation. I believe that the blue bar that says staff begins recording metrics does capture the preparation that Rosemary just spoke of, because if the board considers advice and adopts metrics, it would do so with a resolution, and it would instruct staff to go forth and measure this stuff. And that would happen, and that's reflected on our chart. And that blue bar does start in early 2013, and that's preparatory. Well, when it comes to the actual affirmation review team, the formation of the team, why show that as starting any sooner than it's supposed to? I don't get that. I'm happy to see an explanation of it, but I don't know what, if somebody asked us, Rosemary, what does that dashed line indicate?
Mm.
I don't mean to say that the dashed line means we think that the GAC chair and board chair would start asking the community for the names of the review team members any sooner than the affirmation tells them to. That would be an uncomfortable point to make, so I don't exactly know what it is.
Okay, my interpretation of that was that if we have a review starting its work in April, then there would need to be some months of preparation, team members, terms of reference, whatever, to get that review underway at that time.
And I apologize, you're right. And a dashed line would be a very appropriate way to convey the lead time
of
figuring out who's on the team. But that's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
All they can do is figure out who do we nominate to the team, and that would probably happen in the fall of 2013.
Mm-hmm.
The autumn meeting of 2013 is probably when the commercial stakeholders group would nominate names to be on this report. But that's about it, right? The review team won't even have been constituted yet, so no other work of the review team can be done other than the naming of who's on it. But the good news is that staff is already hard at work on the recording of metrics.
And this is Barry. Just to add detail to the staff begins recording metrics line, there's only so much that ICANN will be able to start to collect. There's a couple of things going on here. There's a set of metrics that we have defined that ICANN can easily start trying to collect today, and I would only gather, you know, if I were to guesstimate, maybe 15 to 20% that they could gather today. The secondary element is that, as defined in the fiscal year 2013 budget, there are probably 7 or 8 line items of systems that are to be implemented to support the new GTLD program that will directly feed into this metrics framework. So there will be a lot of sub-bars, supposedly, under this staff begins recording metrics. And then the third component to it is, once the AOC review team decides what the final framework will be, all of those requirements are then passed through the board back to ICANN for implementation. And so that's just something to consider. So I guess I don't want to give the impression that January 13 staff can already start recording all of the entirety of the metrics we have defined here.
Cheryl here, I wonder if we could make well, not necessarily the sort of little broken up line that we're going to be having at the beginning of the actual GTLD AR, but I wonder if we could have something fuzzy, something slightly opaque about the beginning of that line.
I can do
that.
If
we're going to be visual, we might as well be visual the whole way.
Sorry,
we will be taking this out to the middle of 2015.
Yeah.
That's the soonest the review team would probably finish its work. There's a benefit to that, folks, because the further out that bar goes, the more that the comparison to targets gets to be closer to the 3 years the board originally asked for. Because the board invented the word 3-year target. Mm-hmm. And when I talked to Bruce about it when we were together in Costa Rica, he said there wasn't a lot of thinking into the timing of 3 years and the timing of the affirmation review, and he didn't think it was a big deal. But it coincidentally, if we end up measuring the targets in the middle of 2015, it's about 3 years from the middle of 2012 when the whole thing gets started.
But wouldn't it be 3 years from April 2013?
Rosemary, you're
not if you assume that the board resolution asking for metrics said just give us 3-year targets. They didn't say 3 years from the beginning of anything. If they meant 3 years from the first delegation, then it wouldn't be till 2016.
Hmm.
If they meant 3 years from when the advice is adopted by the board, it would be middle of 2012, right? So Bruce indicated to me, don't fret, don't worry about that. I think I brought this up at the session in Costa Rica, and he didn't think it was a big deal, and he hopes that we would measure it at multiple points. And I guess we're doing our best to say that we've put in place 3-year targets, but the affirmation review team might be, we're looking at a 2-year performance run. It might be looking at a 1-year performance run, and it's not going to jive with a 3-year target.
Rosemary here. Just to change topic, the first two items on our timeline, I think, relate to the slide before where we were having trouble with what goes to GNSO and when and how to express that. And I'd just like to make sure that we've got complete congruence between the previous slide and this timeline, where we call out that the advice is going to be considered by GNSO, ALAC, CCNSO, and GAC, and then by the board. So could we just go back, Barry, to the previous slide? Oh, you probably can't show us the updated version.
I'll cut and paste the bullets into the chat.
Cheryl here, just while Barry's doing that, the other thing I'm very comfortable about, the slightly fenestrated or fuzzy lines at the beginning of a couple of these bits, is, of course, we don't actually know what effect on go-live now for new GTLDs, the GAC advice letter to the board that says they won't be giving any advice until 2013 at all.
Yes, so that helps. So now back into the chat for a minute. So we've got GNSO Council will deliberate the advice. Other SOs ACs may consider the advice letter. If adopted, now I think in this third point, Barry, we need to be very specific because what we're saying is if GNSO adopts the advice, then GNSO will submit their advice to the board, which...
You may not need to say if adopted. You could just say GNSO will provide advice to the board pursuant to the resolution.
Yes. Whether or not they even take notice, sorry, Cheryl here, even if they, whether they take notice of this advice from a work group or not is moot. They can, they still have been asked by the board to give advice, even if they ignore what we do.
That's right. And, so, okay, so we've got those 3 points on that page, and then we come to our timeline where we're saying that the advice is going to be considered by everybody. So that puts the first 2 points in the chat together, GNSO and everybody else. And then we're off to the board. So I think that works from one slide to the next. Okay.
Okay. So to close out the timeline slide, for now, the new GTLD's delegated line, I'm going to maintain approximately first quarter of 2013, despite the GAC's recent letter. I imagine that will probably get deliberated some, but until ICANN publishes a formal timeline, I recommend that we hold true to what we have here. As for staff begins recording metrics, I'll fuzzy half of the bar that will coincide with the end of the affirmation review of new the affirmation review of the new GTLD program, and then those will be solid blue. And then we'll move compare to targets for adopted metrics. I'll have to add, I guess it'll still be maybe third quarter of 2015 if we're using the board. We'll consider it third quarter of 2012.
I'm a little confused. I thought that the staff begins recording could stay just the way you have it on the screen, and that Rosemary was suggesting a dashed blue only for the affirmation review and only for the latter half of 2013 to show the last quarter was where we're going to nominate members of the review team. Did I get that wrong, Rosemary?
No, you've got that right, Steve. It's just that Barry was making the point to us, I thought, that the recording of metrics is a process that's going to build from a lowish base of what's possible now, what's possible when there are some system changes, and then... you know, what might be possible even a bit further down the track.
Oh, I got it. All right.
Yeah. And possibly a way to do that, Barry, is to just adopt a graded shading on that bar.
Yeah.
Yep. Which I think was Cheryl's point. Yes?
Yep. Fuzziness. Yep. I'm into fuzziness today.
Yes.
Fuzzy logic, fuzzy starts, fuzzy outcomes, all the same.
We did agree that you take the thing out into the middle of 2015 to coincide with the 1 year from operation.
This is Tobias. May I just make a comment, too, on this start of the affirmation review team? In my view, I think there is more preparation for the review team than just nominating members. They will actually have to review the metrics and the definitions, and they might also come up with alternative measures.
Mm.
And then they might ask ICANN to start measuring these and collect the data that will be necessary. So I think it would be a good idea to actually at least encourage these parties to start the process at an early point of time rather than the team then spending a lot of time initially reviewing the metrics and the definitions and finding that actually something else should have been measured and that might lead to delays later. Thank you.
Cheryl here.
Yes, Cheryl.
Look, that goes exactly, I think, to Barry's point, and it also highlights the fault in the RT system. Review teams are convened and are dissolved at specific points in time, and each and every one of them are now hobbled, and I do mean hobbled, with the problems exactly, because what you outlined very sensibly is not able to be done. So, for example, because the affirmation of commitments, the accountability and transparency review team, the very first one that ever went off the cab rank, was dissolved at the point in time, officially dissolved at the point in time when we presented our proposals to the board, and the board reacted to those proposals. We became no more. And to that end, every one of our meetings, including some 3 or 4 hours during Prague, is totally unofficial and technically can be ignored, despite the fact that, you know, tracking what happens with those proposals and the undertaking of making the changes from the recommendations needs to be done by someone. It is a, gee, I hope we get it better next time when we build it again system. But I think what you've suggested is exactly why Barry was concerned, because there is a huge amount of pre-prep that does need to be done, and unfortunately, until a review team is convened, it cannot actually act on any of that. And unfortunately, review teams are a lucky dip, and it depends totally on who you get in them as to how they will be acting and activating any of their mandate or some of their mandate.
Thanks, Cheryl. Okay, so does that complete that review of the PowerPoint, Barry?
Yes, it does. And I'm making the changes to this last slide, and I'll send that out in a few minutes so that... I do need the feedback from the group today, so I can get that sent over to Glenn. And so the other quick task, which I don't think we really need to go into too much detail today, but as a supplementary to the PowerPoint, I recommend that we send the most recent draft of the advice letter alongside, clearly stating that this is still a draft and everything's subject to change until we've completed the review. I doubt we'll have the time to review any of the details of the letter, but it's more meant to provide the true background information to those that are consuming it.
That'd be really useful, Cheryl, here. I think that's a great concept. Can I ask for an AI that Natalie might need to pick up to make the life of Olivier I and indeed the at-large staff slightly easier. Barry, once the slide deck's kicked off today, and I'm assuming it and this letter goes across to Glenn, can Natalie you make sure that it ends up in our Dropbox for access by the at-large community during presentation time, please? Just one less thing Olivia has to think about. I'm being kind to our chairman. It's all right. Won't happen often.
Okay. So just real
question,
quick.
Rosemary, at what point would members of the working group try to propose edits to what it is that Barry has circulated in terms of the new letter? Do we expect to do that as a team during phone calls or making edits and passing them back to the group?
Well, in fact, I think... Barry, I thought, was asking us to do a quick review of this letter.
On today's call, then?
I'm thinking so, Steve, if we could. I mean, it's not going to be a finished piece of work, but I'm suggesting that we just scroll through it, and if there's something that really jumps out at someone, then let's deal with it. And I thought Barry in email said that there were a few matters where he wanted some clarification from us.
Yeah.
Great. Let's go for it. But keep in mind, we still have to get the competition on today's call. That's all. Thanks.
And can I say, I was going to bring it up under AOB, but it's kind of important. I actually need to go back very, very briefly just to clarify something under our previously discussed metrics, if you don't mind, just back a little bit to last call.
Okay. Did you want to do it before we do this letter?
Before show? You get into competition, but deal with the letter now.
Okay, fine. Okay, Barry, scroll away.
Okay. The first few changes that I've made, I still designated this as a draft because people will consume this in June. I just left the month of June and didn't put a definitive date. I did add the GAC into our subtitle here just because it was omitted previously.
Mm-hmm.
So the first real change comes down per... It's going to be a little bit of a challenge to...
I got to just ask you that first one you have on the screen. I don't have any idea.
So the first one is from comment number 6, which was a comment by Chandra Locke at our Costa Rica session. And I sent along the Word document of the public comment review tool. And the working group had come up with the idea that we should communicate better that we are just measuring and not making recommendations for ICANN to act upon relevant act upon a relevant policy response. And that there is also the notion that, you know, the definition should be considered with the metrics at the same time. So this was my first attempt to try to implement that. Additionally, the working group acknowledges that the advice is only to measure relevant metrics regarding the GTLD program and that any recommendations within the advice are not for ICANN to act upon relevant policy responses.
Rosemary here, I'm not sure that we've quite captured it. My understanding of the point was to just remind everybody clearly that what our advice is about measures. Those measures may throw up issues that need to be considered and subsequently policy developed, but we're not at that point. We're right at the beginning of that chain. Offering some hopefully useful advice about what ought to be measured in trying to determine the effectiveness of the program. I thought that was the point that we were trying to make. Are there anybody else on that?
I think that's what I understood as well. I think, I mean, there's several ways of approaching, this is Michael, by the way, for the transcript. Several ways of approaching this. Initially, I had marked on the last line where it reads, the advice are not, before four, I was looking at it, inserting intended to require, take out four, so it would read the advice, well, going back so it makes sense. Any recommendations within the advice are not intended to require ICANN to act upon relevant policy responses. And I, that's what we're getting at with this comment, was it not, that we're trying to set up metrics, not action requests?
Yeah, and Michael, you wouldn't have believed it. A lot of folks were afraid that when we measured things like sunrise or we measured things like price, that we were effectively creating policies that would encourage applicants to change their pricing, et cetera. And we kept saying, no, 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 this is simply to measure, not to change policies or develop new policies. Michael, would you be comfortable with what I just pasted into the chat? Is that a better way to state what's in red?
Let me take a look.
Only if you spell it right.
I knew you'd catch me for that.
You just planted it in there to see if I was paying attention. I know, Steve. It's all right.
I only wonder about the targets.
Yeah, well, that's part of our merit. It was part of our resolution, and we were asked to propose it, and we did. I mean, it's not enough to say we did metrics. We did more.
Okay.
So we did definitions, measures, and targets.
I'm still trying to work on some of the tenses and agreement here. The advice, where would that drop in? In place of
replacement
this
for what we've got in there for summarizing Chandra, which you're right, doesn't make any sense the way she's written it, and it's incomplete and will only raise questions.
Okay,
what I'm proposing is a replacement.
Okay, I would say just a little bit different. I mean, the working group advice is intended to be or consists of proposed measures and targets for the new GTLD program.
Yep.
And does not intend to recommend policy changes or policy development.
Rosemary here, if you actually look at where the sentence fits in the paragraph, we said in the paragraph that we're doing definitions, measures, and targets. So I think this sentence can be very clear and follow in the form of the previous sentence, which says, however, the working group understands that this advice cannot predetermine or otherwise limit the scope of the team. Additionally, the working group acknowledges that this advice is not intended to recommend policy changes or policy development.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Agreed. Can somebody take that?
Sorry, you're right with that, Barry?
I need text.
Okay.
I'm doing it now.
Thanks, Steve.
Pardon me. Can you all hear my dogs snoring and my quails waking up? It's quite the dawn chorus here.
Dogs snoring and quail waking up?
Yeah. Well, it's sun is rising, and I have two of the three dogs sitting next to me who are snoring extremely loudly. So it's not me. I am paying attention. And the quails have decided to do their morning chorus. Next thing, it'll be the galahs, so you'll be all welcome to Australia soon.
Additionally, this advice is not intended to recommend policy changes or policy development. Yes.
And this is to replace the entire sentence from before, correct?
That's right, Barry, yes.
Yeah, that makes sense because that very first sentence, then, as you look it back on it, that sets out what we intend to do, the definitions, measures, and targets. We need not say that again.
Yeah,
that's where I was heading with such advice, leading from those previous sentences, but that last one, that does fine.
Okay. The next change, and I tagged this under Chandra's comment, but we've brought it up several times through a review of the public comments, and it was that consumers of this information should be reviewing definitions and the metrics together and not considered alone.
Yep.
So
that's
the
definition.
I don't think you need the both, do you? Lastly, it is essential... Rosemary here, sorry. Lastly, it is essential when reviewing this advice that the definitions of each term should always be considered when reviewing the metrics. Both are complements with an E, I think, of each other, and context can be lost if they were to be considered independently.
Cheryl here, Rosemary. Look, I'm always happy to gild the lily for the average public in at large.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how the GNSO reads things, but I would have no problem with that in full, just to push the point home to some of my community at least.
Remembering that the Chandra is the Federal Trade Commission and that while she did make some informal comments in Costa Rica, the FTC's formal written comments are incorporated in the U.S. government submission that we've been reviewing.
So let's have a look at Barry's take in the chat and just see if we think it's covered.
Well, again, I would take out both the definitions of each term. I mean, as you were reading it before, the only difference that I had was to remove the in the second sentence, then just have it read both the complements of each other. Simply because
above Barry, I proposed a single sentence to replace both.
And then Steve says, lastly, reviewers of these metrics should always consider both the definitions and metrics in context. Rosemary here, I think the expanded version is probably going to be more helpful, as Cheryl was saying, in the broader context of people who haven't been working on this. But I think it should read, lastly, it is essential when reviewing this advice that, delete both, the definition of each term should always be considered when reviewing the metrics.
Not should, just the definitions of each term be considered when reviewing the metrics. Then it goes on to both are complements of each other.
Okay, yep, okay, that's good. Definitions of each term be considered when reviewing the metrics. Both are complements, and it should be an E instead of each other, and context can be lost if they were to be considered alone.
Okay, great. Done?
Mm-hmm. Good.
Rosemary, Cheryl here. Why do I feel like we're doing a single consumer code for the telecommunications industry? Sorry, boys. I couldn't help myself. It goes back to sitting across tables with Rosemary many years ago.
That's right. Line by line, word by word. But we got.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now we're down into the definition section. Consumer has not been changed. Consumer trust has. This is the latest version that the working group agreed upon. And we'll get into the notes here in just a second that are a result of that change. As well as consumer choice did change as well, where we included the use of meaningful choices. And the last comment I'll make about both of these two is I believe the working group did agree to replace registrants and internet users with consumers as we had defined back in the consumer definition.
Going back, and unfortunately, this is something that wasn't revised. So, but I do have a question in the definition of consumer. Is it understood from context elsewhere in the letter that registrants refers to domain name registrants?
Yes, always. Registrant can only be one thing: a domain name registrant.
I think the question was, where is that stated?
I mean, I know there's that presumption, but it took me 6 months to work out registry, registrar, registrant. And I'm just wondering.
Right. You don't now have to put the word domain name in front of each of those three words.
And this, Barry, we did say that the focus of this is in the context of the DNS.
DNS, yeah.
It's the first sentence in the paragraph above where it says the definition focuses not on the nature of an entity but rather on the role they are playing by using the DNS to do resolutions or to register a domain name. I think that captures it.
Okay.
And it's close enough, Michael, to
the point.
I think
it's in context,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Are you okay with that, Michael?
I'm okay with that. And with the context of the use of the definition, I think I'm fine. If it moves beyond, you know, the close quarters, I think it becomes a question. But, no, I'm clear on the definition from that prior paragraph, so thank you.
Okay. Tobias?
Yes, just a minor issue on the consumer choice. I think since we're using consumers as it is defined, it should be with a capital C.
Oh, yeah, the red lined one, yeah, because it's as defined. Fair enough, yep.
And that also then applies back into consumer trust, is defined as the confidence consumers, capital C, have.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, correct. If it goes for one, it'll have to go for the other.
Mm.
Yes. And I think perhaps we should check that also in the slide deck, because I noticed that for some reason other words were written with capital letters like users and registrants, but those are not defined. So perhaps Barry can just check that later and make sure that we only use capital letters for the defined words.
Thanks, Tobias.
I have a question on consumer choice in reading this. It looks as though there are three types of ranges that make up consumer choice. Am I incorrect? One is the range of options available to consumers. Is that limited to domain scripts and languages? Okay, I see. Never mind.
Okay.
Right. I was the next one that comes in, and for TLDs that offer meaningful choices.
Mm-hmm. So I'm Rosemary here. I'm just looking back at Consumer Trust for just a second. Okay, any comments on those three or four definitions before we get to the notes?
Okay, with those edits, that's fine.
So we're looking at note one now.
This comment is in relation to the comment submitted by the ALAC with respect to consumer,
mm-hmm.
and this note one was asked to be included.
Mm-hmm. Is that the usual way? It's Michael here. Is that the usual way of including this, which is, as I'm reading it, one, we have the advice going along, and this note then actually is not a note from the working group, but from outside. Is there some other way that should be indicated clearly? I mean, I guess we're referring to the ALAC believes.
Mm. To be honest, I think we could delete the part that follows the ALAC believes, but that's just me.
Sorry, Cheryl, so you're saying take the note,
in the note
out? Yeah.
In the note where it goes on to speak of the ALAC believes,
mm-hmm.
I have no problem with that whole section being deleted.
Right.
Because this is a piece of draft advice that would be, in inverted commas, personalised, close mm-hmm. commas, to suit whichever AC or SO would be endorsing it. And we may as well remove the particularly specific to AC mm-hmm. referenced. It adds nothing to it.
And Rosemary here, and if the ALAC wanted to make this point in
then it would make it in its introduction and its endorsement, absolutely.
Yes, yeah.
So should we switch it to just the working group or members of the community?
That works, yeah.
But, Rosemary here, I think we've got a problem because I think as a working group, we're happy with consumer being actual and potential internet users and registrants. The issue that the footnote is bringing forward is that in ALAC's belief...
Well, which we could call the community, because it
yeah.
may be GAC's belief, it may be all sorts of people's beliefs, yet.
Mm.
But members of the community believe...
Or some members of the
some
community.
Members.
Some members of the community believe, yeah, that works even better. But it's non-specific on AC and SO is what I'm suggesting.
Mm. Okay, but there is a recommendation in here from one specific AC. that the board use a particular term in future work. And I think that bit needs to come out of here and go into ALAC's advice to the board, if that's ALAC.
If indeed it gets
ALAC's position, So
the last two sentences should be removed then.
Yes, that was my first proposal.
Got it.
So just keep everybody sane here. This is the end result.
Yep, hello.
Very good. Note two was the expansion of the note from Tobias with respect to our chart. There was actually, instead of two, there's three aspects. We added the third, and then we have the table I believe we all agreed to.
Hell yeah, that's great.
I think that's good.
Thank you, Tobias.
No problem.
Note three was inclusion from the USG, and specifically they called out meaningful, and the options would include price, quality, and product diversity. I put a comment here is, should we change this to should as opposed to will?
Yes?
Yes. We can't be too prescriptive.
That's right. If you're thinking about it from a consumer's point of view, meaningful options could include those things.
Or just, as Michael here, why not just leave out will or shall or could?
Yes, good. That's great, Michael. So meaningful options includes price, quality, and product diversity.
Yeah, because they are options,
Michael again. Barry, do you want the niblets as well, such as the extra comma at the end of conduct in that last item on the chart above? As long as I'm proofreading.
Maybe we'll do it on the way through.
If I do it once, I'm fine. If I do it the third time,
are you referring to the square bracket?
Right before the square bracket, yeah.
I'll just get rid of the period, or the
or the comma. I was allowing the period to be in there, but I had a comma and a period in the version that I printed out. Oh, and there's also a comma at the beginning of that bracket. I see.
All right, got it.
Okay. This is Tobias. Perhaps we need to do some more work with the table. This was actually constructed just by copy-pasting from the USG advice and further discussions about it. So not sure whether we should have square brackets in there or maybe just delete part of the table that is already included in other parts of the text.
Yeah, and there's some
duplication.
Yes.
With capitalization and such as well that I can see in here.
So have we got the detail to do that now, or are we happy to let Barry identify where there's duplication in the table and delete it from the table?
Yeah, I think he can tidy it up.
Okay. Yes. Are you happy with that, Barry?
In terms of capitalization, yes, but I can't speak for the working group as to what edits they really want to make to this table.
Okay. Well,
where do you see duplication?
That's okay. Can you scroll back to the table for us, and perhaps Tobias can just help us out here?
So I've made capital adjustments to each of the cells for the first letter.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I would go ahead on that very last one, going back to that. I would, now that we're looking at it differently, take out the brackets, leave in that first comma, and then end it with a period.
Yeah,
it
works.
I must admit, in going through this, Tobias, this was developed before I became a member of the working group. I thought it read quite well going through it, not understandably as well. So,
Michael, that, Rosemary here, that was our reaction. We thought it was very helpful.
Indeed. Cheryl here with a yay team to Tobias again.
Good. Sorry, I didn't really get where you were proposing to delete, Michael. Was it delete the square brackets?
Yes, in that very last
yes.
bottom right. Leave in the comma before including and take out the bracket before that, and then the take out the last bracket and that comma that was before that period. Other one of these that seems to me to require something would be the aspects or the TLD registry operator. If you want to preface these two bulleted items by the extent to which operator one is fulfilling its proposed purpose and two is complying.
Yeah, change those to numbered.
Or change that to fulfillment of its proposed purpose and
compliance with.
Right. That would probably be better.
Yep.
Okay.
Damn it, blast.
Bye, Cheryl.
Shall we move forward?
Sorry. Yes, Barry. I don't know if we've still got Cheryl with us.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I thought I'd lost something off another screen, but it's okay. When I went back from the black screen, what I took forever to find is actually still there, though.
Okie doke, Barry. Press on.
Okay, we've read through three. Then the rest are just read numbers for what we already had.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the addition of note 7, just to restate again. That definitions are presented individually. However, the working group acknowledges these may need to be combined in a holistic analysis where consumer trust is assessed together with consumer choice and competition to aid in determining the overall costs and benefits incurred by consumers and other market participants from the expansion of the GTLD. And this is in response to the USG comment.
Okie doke. Well, the first thing we need to do is stop the sentence at competition unless we can come up with another construction, because we've said quite explicitly that we're not going anywhere near overall costs and benefits. What we need to do is...
Steve, I could give you an alternative ending.
Yes, Steve.
I was proposing to return right to the affirmation particle,
yes.
paragraph 9.3,
yeah.
where we could to aid in determining
mm-hmm.
to which the introduction or expansion of GTLDs has promoted competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice.
Perfect.
Direct quote from the affirmation 9.3.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I think
could even put it in quotes and cite. This is the fourth paragraph of our background on page 1, Barry.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't, rather than just leave off costs and benefits, we reassert what it is we're actually accountable to.
Yep.
Yeah, good call, Steve, because that way it brings it back to the core documentation that we are actually operating under.
And I like, Rosemary here, Michael's suggestion in the chat that we take out combined in a holistic analysis and just go with considered holistically, need to be considered holistically.
Right, and then I would follow up, need to be considered holistically, comma, in order to determine.
Mm-hmm.
Where consumer trust, yeah. Yep.
The extent to which the introduction or expansion has promoted competition, consumer trust, and choice.
Yeah, good sentence.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, please?
Move on to the next one, and I'll whip it up and stick it in the chat.
This is the latest one.
Okay, so Steve will come back to us, Barry, with the version. If we go to the next point.
So now we get into just the actual metrics. Mm-hmm. You will see edits from the I have updated the capital C in consumers on this version, as well as the consumer choice definition, but this is just a restatement of the previous definition.
Mm-hmm.
And
Cheryl Heberry, but you will be doing a global replacement on that, won't you?
Yes. And, yes, and it's already done in the presentation, too.
Okay. Terrific. Thanks.
So Rosemary here, so the first major change is the survey. Survey of perceived contingent.
So this one is a combination of several public comments,
mm-hmm.
and the idea here first was that there's a survey in consumer choice, which I did add a specific line item referencing back up to this one, that, you know, this is a holistic survey or meant to cover both trust and choice. And then there were several iterations of the survey could at least measure some of these things that had been fleshed out either from ENTA and or the USG.
Dual purpose would be a better phrase than holistic. Holistic just doesn't mean anything.
That was just my speaking. I didn't, that's not a word in the text.
Rosemary here, it's the way I'm reading it, it's not quite capturing that point, Barry, because we've got...
this one does not. The survey listed in the consumer choice version does reference back up to consumer trust.
Okay. Okay, thanks. Anyone else on this one? If not, let's just go back quickly to Steve in the chat. And I think those words are fine.
With the typo fixed, yes.
With the typo fixed.
Okay. He's just testing me, Rosemary. I know what it's all about. Is Cheryl paying attention? We'll have an E. We'll have two E's in these, Barry, but other than that, Steve's words are wonderful.
We have made that update.
Okay.
The second change is with respect to adding significantly lower than the incidence in legacy TLDs. Mm-hmm. And did have a comment here, and I believe that this is from, I'm going to have to go back to the review tool to make sure I find it correctly.
The registry's comment, which we don't believe makes any sense when you look at the number 1 out of 20 is 5%. Mm. You couldn't say plus or minus 5% on a number like 5.
No.
So I really believe that we have a to-do item, which is to go back to the registries, and I can own that if you wish, and explain how the numbers are so tiny that it didn't make any sense to use a plus or minus.
Rosemary here, that would be good if you could do it, Steve, especially if it could be done before you do the presentation in Prague, so that
I'll take that
doesn't... Yep, thank you.
Okay, so I doubt we'll get an answer before I need to send this off. I'll recommend that we just keep it significantly lower for now, and I'll maintain this comment in the red line that we need to come back and address it, but of course I'll go ahead and send along a clean and a red line version in the package to Glenn, but until we get confirmation, we'll leave it the same.
Yes, that's fine, Barry.
Okay. The next change was a new metric, which was the quantity of general complaints for registries and registrars, in anticipated difficulties, and then lower incidence than in legacy GTLD. And I included the comment here for the difficulty is, you know, it may be difficult to establish a baseline based on the existing internet data. As we discussed on prior calls, data does exist. It may not be clean as we would wish it to be. So I just included that note.
Okay.
Okay, the next change, we're really kind of getting into some of the details from the public comment tool. In essence, from the previous version, you'll notice that we've combined UDRP and URS per INTA. They should have been considered together,
mm-hmm.
or should be considered together as one is supposed to bypass the other. And the other change was that the three-year target would be declining over time. And then we also agreed about removing before and after expansion.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The next one is the relative incidence of intellectual property claims, which was a new suggestion by INTA.
Mm-hmm.
And the difficulty here got a little wordy. Compared to our other ones.
Mm-hmm.
For now, I don't recommend that we remove it just because we're still in a draft. And when we can reconvene after Prague, we can maybe clean this up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fine, Barry. And anyone who disagrees, of course, will just jump in and say so. I know.
Cheryl here, can we square bracket it so it's really obvious to the punters who are going to be reading it?
That it's still under consideration, Cheryl.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
So just square brackets on column three?
Yeah. Just so it's bleedingly obvious and we can do a shortcut and say, see, square bracket, we're still working on it.
I'm going to use those more often now, I think.
Well, even GAC understands. It sort of comes from the GAC world, you see.
Is that denoted in the Robert Rule?
That's like my basic test. Can GAC understand it?
Barry, did you say something about a rubber room?
No, I said is the square bracket defined in the Robert's Rules of Parliamentary Procedure. I just started reading it. It's so exciting.
That is compulsory reading, Barry. I am shocked that you have not already got a chapter and verse memorized.
Somebody needs to take Barry into a corner in Prague and talk to him seriously.
I tell you what.
Press on, only Barry.
Only if it's the corner of a bar. Great. The next change, as I mentioned.
Barry, Steve, if I could.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Steve?
Strikes me that the combined URS UDRP.
So we're going back, yep.
Well, I'm back a tiny bit, because I just went back and checked my notes.
Mm.
It looks as if we struck the words lower than incidence in legacy GTLDs, and we kept only that it decline over time.
Mm-hmm.
My notes on those rows show that we were going to compare that rate to contemporaneous, there's a spelling challenge, to legacy GTLDs.
No, you can spell that.
I don't know where we changed it to declining over time only, because one might have thought that UDRP you could compare, but you couldn't compare URS because there was an assumption that we didn't do URSs in the legacy Gs. But Michael Graham had educated us that UDRPs in the old are comparable to the sum total of UDRP and URS in the new. So that I don't know, do you think there was a rationale to strike out the comparison as opposed to declining over time? Because declining over time doesn't really answer the question of improving consumer trust and choice relative to the pre-expansion world, right? It just says that this new batch may have started really lousy and got a little better over time. They'd meet the metric of this working group, and that's not what we intended.
So
wanted to show a net improvement. So my proposal is we go back to the old language to say lower than the incidence of UDRPs in legacy GTLDs.
Mm.
And again, that is lower than the current incidence, contemporaneous incidence of UDRPs in the legacy GTLDs. You could say same period.
And
yeah.
So you, Rosemary here, Steve, so you would just strike declining over time in those two and stick with lower than incidence in legacy GTLD.
Two clarifications, lower than incidence than UDRP incidence in legacy GTLDs in current periods.
Right, and I'm looking back at, I think where the notes, I'd have to go back further to get further in.
Mm-hmm.
It was a two-part proposal. One was to include the URS with UDRPs to get the accurate figure. And then the second would have to be that the comparison would have to be relative insofar as you're going to have a greater number. So it would be the relative incidence would have to increase.
Agreed. Over time, the relative incidence should be lower than in legacies, right?
And that's
right.
The declining over time. See, if we don't ditch declining, Cheryl, here for the record, if we don't ditch declining over time but expand that sentence to make sure that it's the relative interest, incidence that is declining over time, that is our expectation.
Well, hang on. The relative thing is comparing in the same period the relative incidence in the new, and let's suppose the incidence of UDRPs was a 5 for every 100 registrations. And that's what relative means, relative to registration. And then you compare it for the same year, 2014, to the legacy GTLDs, where they're running at 4 per 100. That is 4 UDRPs per 100 registrations.
Which is declined in a perfect world.
But forget about decline. We're not even measuring over time. That wasn't in the original advice. And I think we threw it in here because we thought we couldn't compare these terms, but you can. Because in the old legacy GTLDs, complaints that Michael's talking about show up as UDRPs, but in the new world, they may be UDRPs or they may be URSs. So you simply add them together and compare the total of UDRP and URS in the new to the relative incidence of UDRPs in the old. And I don't know why declining over time ends up mattering. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, Rosemary here. So we want to go back then, Steve, to lower than incidence in legacy GTLDs. But do we want to be specific?
We have to say that some smart aleck's going to say, you guys got it wrong. There are no URSs in the legacy GTLDs.
Yes.
Okay, so I wanted to preempt that smart-ass comment and say lower than incidence. The lower than relative incidence of UDRP and legacy GTLDs.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we make sure people know that it's concurrent? You say lower than current incidence, lower than same period incidence of UDRP and legacy GTLDs. Maybe that's the way to go. Lower than same period relative incidence of UDRPs in legacy GTLDs.
Rosemary here, and when you're saying same period, you mean for the first year or the first 2 years? Or
whatever year you measure it. If you measured it in 2014, Rosemary,
yes.
In 2014, the new GTLDs, we'd say we're running at 5 per 100.
Yep, okay.
At the same year, 2014, the legacies
yes.
were having a higher incidence.
I got it, yep.
That's what whenever we say compare to the legacy GTLDs throughout our table, we've been consistent. It's a same period comparison.
Okay. So is everybody on the working group happy with that? And Barry, have you got it in the chat?
Let me point out, Michael, for the transcript,
yes, Michael. Mm-hmm.
That before we pulled together the UDRPs and the URS, and I believe this is where the difficulty comes from, the URS targets were looking at declining incidence over time, whereas the UDRP decisions were looking at a lower incidence in the new GTLDs than in the legacy GTLDs.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, to answer your question, I was attempting to fix both rows and return them to a relative comparison between legacy and new, and after we're done returning this to what it's supposed to be, we might still decide to add a decline over time as an additional target.
Right, and I think that's what it is, that, you know, we combined these and did away with, the URS, we brought them in with the UDRP, but I do think we have the two measures. One is relative comparison between the legacy and the new GTLDs, and then also in terms of trust going forward, not only do I have to trust it now, but I'm going to trust it as there's a declining number of these going forward. So I do think it's the two measures.
Well, keep in mind that when we invented this, the reason we had declining over time was that URS has only existed in the new GTLDs. And I wrote that, and I know for sure that's why we did that. For UDRPs, we compared them in the same period. Mm-hmm. But only for URS, we said, oh, we can't do that. We have to measure the decline over time as a second best way of assessing whether there's an improvement here.
But and that would still hold true. The only difference is that it would not be as large a change over time insofar as the UDRPs are there as well. But
okay.
Yeah, if we can do a minor revision based on what we've just said, if Barry can do that, and then we can take a look at it again in terms.
Fine, thanks.
Well, the fallback is square brackets again.
Yes. So now Barry's got a version in the chat. Are we happy to go with that version? Oh, we've got a yes or a no. Lower than same period of relative incidence of UDRPs in legacy GTL. Okay, great.
I propose a slightly different...
Yep, okay. So if we pick Steve's slightly different version up and go with that in those two rows.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And do we still want to keep these in brackets?
Well, it hasn't solved Michael's point yet, has it?
No.
So maybe we should keep it in brackets for now.
Okay. Are you comfortable with that, Michael? If we
keep it in brackets.
Yeah. Okay. And now we're back to the litigation survey for shorthand. Sorry, Barry. Are we done that one?
Yeah, we already reviewed through that one.
Yep, good.
And so, as I mentioned, the collapse of URS and UDRP into two metrics, those are why those are deleted. The next change is with respect from the USG comment, including reported data security breaches.
Yeah.
Then I think per the registry comments is to include significantly lower than the incidence in those four three-year target changes. And then lastly for this page was a new metric on the relative incidence of detected botnets and malware using new GTLDs, with the source being the APWG. There was the comment it's not clear on the source of data. We may require law enforcement contribution in this regard. And maintained the same target significantly lower and incidents in legacy GTLD. Moving on to the new page 11, metric from are the quantity and relevant incidents of sites found to be dealing and distributing identities and account information used in identity fraud. This is from the USG.
Michael here. Barry, the only thing I would say, I wonder if we should insert in after dealing in or distributing identities and account information.
Okay, incidents of sites found to be dealing in or distributing identities and account information. Yes.
Yeah.
All right, got it.
Yep.
Two more significantly changes, and then the last row is quantitative analysis. I use the word qualitative, by the way. Analysis of GPLD application answers for question 18, mission and purpose, which kind of conflicts with the 5% or less of change from baseline. There were several discussions with respect to the applications. Certainly only portions of that are made publicly available. I wasn't sure whether the working group wanted to just limit it to question 18 for mission and purpose, or if we wanted to maybe include all possible answers to the application that are at least public. And I'll need to find this in the public comment tool. And this is really it.
I think the INTA comment at least was directed at whether or not the assertions made in response to question 18 were in fact part of the site. That's, I think, what we were looking at here.
Michael's recollection matches with my notes from that discussion, and it was to measure their measure the mission stated in their application, which happens to be Q18, versus the actual use and policies of the GTLD. So it's a comparison, a contemporaneous comparison of what they said they would do to what they're actually doing. And that's not a compliance measure, because you can't, it's not a compliance issue if they're not a community TLD. If they're just a regular TLD, it was a promise they made to get through approval and to get people to start registering, and then they could change their minds unilaterally without a compliance hit. And I think that INTA is saying, let's measure that. Let's measure as a measure of trust whether they stuck to what they said they would do. Is that right, Michael?
That's correct.
So in terms of rephrasing this, the qualitative analysis of GTLD application answers for question 18, mission and purpose, versus the registry operators' stated purpose?
I would say a qualitative comparison of mission and purpose in the application.
Set forth in the application.
Set forth in the application. And current actual policies or current actual use of the GTLD.
Yeah. And then the three-year target, actually, we should rephrase a bit as well, because it's really 5% or fewer sites deviating from mission and purpose. And I don't know, I don't like the word deviating, and I will say why, and maybe you can come up with a better solution. I fully expect that almost every site will somewhat deviate from their mission and purpose, because once they get up there, there will be adjustments. So if there is some more than minimal deviation way of saying that, it probably would be good. Because I'm not suggesting that any change, but any significant change from that mission and purpose should be part of that comparison.
Rosemary here. We've actually, there's a couple of issues as I see it. There's the what's in the initial application question 18 compared to what's presented to the public, so stated on their website. And then secondly, we've got changes in the market and different responses, different products developed, whatever, whatever. And at that point, the question is whether, from the consumer's point of view, is whether what's stated on the website as the mission and purpose is actually the mission and purpose. So there's, or whether the statement on the website can be relied upon. To me, there's two analyses at different points in time, and somehow we've got to capture this as a bit of a moving feast. And then I suppose thirdly, if there was in fact anybody who was out there saying they were going to do one thing and then doing another, we ought to have zero tolerance for that, because it really is at the heart of consumer trust. So the fact that we allow a baseline variation of 5%, from my point of view, is too much on this particular issue because it's so central. Having said all that, I'm not sure what I want us to do.
Can I get my hand up if I could?
Yes, please. Steve, sorry. Yep.
We discussed this back on April the 9th, and I took pretty careful notes that day. And Greg was leading the time for INTA. I don't know if Michael was on the phone that day. My notes don't show that he was.
Mm.
Yes, he was. Michael, you were on April the 9th.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yep. And we said that there should not be a target for this.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
We don't want a target. This is a qualitative comparison.
Mm-hmm.
And the results of the comparison are to show what percentage, or simply to list, and in what ways a registry has changed its stripes from what it said it would do. They're allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But when they do, there is a recognition from us that that undermines consumer trust if it changes its standards. Now, what if it raised its standards? That'd be a good thing. But in many cases, things like .jobs did a selective interpretation of its charter that enabled it to take on registrants and compete with businesses that it had earlier relied upon to join it. So, I mean, I really don't think we should have a target. We should note no target, semicolon, comparison only.
Okay, that's good. And then you're making a suggestion, Steve, qualitative analysis as compared to...
The end of the sentence, the way that Barry and I have been messing with this sentence is that... Qualitative comparison of mission and purpose set forth in question 18 of the new GTL application and current actual use. By the time I get to and current actual use, the reader forgets that what I want to do to compare. So one way you could say it is a qualitative analysis of mission and purpose as compared to current actual use of the GTLD.
Or you, Michael here, or you could shorten that simply by changing the and to a with.
Agreed.
Okay, yeah, that works. Cheryl here, sorry.
Yep. Okay, so I think we're done now on that one.
So just so I captured it correctly, qualitative analysis – can you repeat that again, Steve?
Go ahead, Michael. You had a better fix.
I thought you had it right here. were we keeping the analysis? You had, Barry, had qualitative comparison of mission – and purpose set forth in question 18 of the new GTLD application with
current actual use of the GTLD. How about that, Barry?
Analysis. I like the comparison rather than analysis because it closes it down. Analysis opens it up a little bit more broadly.
Yeah. And comparison then works with.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, that looks good, Barry. I think that looks good. And then for the three-year target, what would be appropriate to point out? We don't have a target, but we want it to be considered.
Yes, it's rosemary here. It's not so. It's not a target. It's got to be an ongoing process, this one, hasn't it?
Thus the use of qualitative.
Yeah, so Barry suggesting no target comparison only.
Yep.
I think that's fine.
Perfect language, Barry. Thank you.
Okay.
And Tobias is asking whether we're ever going to get to competition, and I think the answer is no, Tobias, on today's call. But I think if we can finish our consideration of this draft advice to the end of the consumer trust section, we will have done well and good preparation for Pride. So my own call has been that it's better for us to finish this piece of work and pick up competition after Prague.
Rosemary, I have another call at the top of the hour, just so you know.
Yes, exactly. So any other thoughts on that? Okay, well, let's just press on. So my apologies, Tobias.
No problem.
Okay, the paragraph below or after the qualitative analysis, there was comments that we deliberated on about ICANN being a counterparty to registry, registrar contracts, and that there should be maybe perhaps some metrics that measures the performance of ICANN as it contributes to consumer trust. This was my take at the wording of that. I'm sure it needs to be changed.
Natalie, can you tell whoever's dialing me that I'm not ready for the ombudsman yet? Cheryl here.
Yes, Cheryl, I'll tell them right away. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rosemary here. I think that's quite good, Barry. Anyone else with other views on the paragraph underneath the table?
That's fine.
Okay, let's press on then.
Consumer choice definition, we've reviewed through. Again, I did capitalize the C there in consumer. The first one is a new metric, non-community-based GTLDs, restrictive registration being bound to stated restriction and whether such community-based websites actually meet their proposed purpose of the registry. And I couldn't find in my notes that we had defined a target here, and we probably need to restate the measure here a little bit.
Rosemary here, is it the same as the issue we've just discussed, though, where you're doing a comparison between what's stated and what's happening? So you haven't got a target, you've just got the comparison.
So the language, Cheryl, here was no target comparison only would be reused?
Yes.
Are we looking at 1, 2, 3, the fourth row down?
Yeah,
correct.
The one starting non-community.
I'm a bit confused.
Mm-hmm.
Begins focusing on non-community-based TLDs. And then a consideration of whether such, and it's now referred to as community-based websites.
Uh-huh.
So.
Trying to find the
comment. I was reading it as though the first part does seem to duplicate what was being looked at in the qualitative analysis we just talked about.
Mm.
But then the focus turns to community-based websites meeting their proposed purpose, which is, a separate and valid analysis because I think, going back, to Rosemary's comment, there is something that I would think would be zero tolerance in terms of...
We've already captured in our compliance section that there would be a breach notice if a community-based GTLD differed from its contractual restrictions on registrants. And there's only 84, I think, community-based GTLDs.
Mm-hmm.
The way it's phrased, this one is confusing, Michael. You're right. The first half is redundant to what we just covered, and the second half would be covered by compliance concerns. Question is, do we want to have a row here at all for this one?
or two rows with them split.
And this is in reference to number 34 from our public comment tool.
Yeah, when it comes to trust, and trust and choice are closely related, I believe that the one we just did prior to this on trust was looking at these GTLDs on question 18 and see if they have changed. And I don't believe that part belongs in here. So I would recommend we not have this one. What did the tool say was the origin, Barry?
Rosemary, I've just gone back to it. It's an inter-comment. We also suggest that in addition to determining whether registry websites clearly disclose benefits and restrictions of the particular registry, there should be an empirical determination made whether such community-based websites actually meet the proposed purpose of the registry. So the focus was community-based websites.
And then to that, during our deliberation, we mentioned that the community-based TLDs are the only ones that do contain restrictions, and if they were to change that, they would have to go through the RCEP process, whereas non-community-based TLDs are not bound to their restrictions and can change them whenever they want.
So, Cheryl Hick, shouldn't we just have this whole, if this line is in, it should be all referring to community-based and no reference to non?
Rosemary, I think that would clarify this point, if we want to keep it in here.
Just a question. In case there is a difference between the stated purpose and the real purpose, wouldn't then the RRDRP apply? So
only for community. Only for community, not for the standards.
Yeah, but aren't we talking about community now?
Rosemary here, I think we are. That's where this original point came.
Yes.
In the number 34 public comment tool.
Cheryl, which is why I'm suggesting the removal of the word non and the capitalising of C for community.
A community-based GTLD's restrictive registration
is bound to stated restriction, and whether such community-based websites actually meet their proposed purpose of the registry. And then that does work with an audit of registry websites and RCEP.
Back up to consumer trust, we already have a row saying decisions against an operator arising from registry restrictions dispute resolutions procedure. Barry, could you scroll up to the consumer trust? It's right before the URS UDRP.
Yeah, we understand that, Steve. The question is, of course, if this line stays in, then it has to change to have the word non removed. That's all.
Given that we just verified we have the row under trust, I don't see why we would repeat it here, though.
Why we have to have it. Tobias, you wanted to say something?
No, I agree. I agree with the last stated comment. So I don't think we need it. Basically,
mm-hmm.
If we already have the RDRP, then this is perhaps not needed.
Covered.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I have to go.
Yep.
And I unfortunately won't get to insert my intervention, but if Barry, can you take a sort of a prompt Cheryl in a future time that in terms of misdemeanor and illegal activities of officers of registries, we need to refer only to the number of terminations on the grounds of Section 4.3 brackets F, and I can wax lyrical on that if and when we get back to it. All right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks, Cheryl.
Okay, bye. Natalie, can you let them call me again, please, darling? Bye.
So, Rosemary, here, just before we dive back into this point, we've got a couple of pages before we finish Consumer Trust. Can we keep going on this, or do we have to finish this call?
I thought we were out of trust.
The choice. Sorry,
choice.
Thanks, Michael. Yeah. So just in terms of admin, ICANN admin, can we keep going until we finish Consumer Choice?
That's three pages. This one I can answer very quickly. I just looked through the INTA mission, and I frankly don't see this within that. It may have come from another place, but I don't see this.
Oh,
not
okay.
DLDs, so just answer
Okay, so
should we just remove this one for now?
I think so, Barry, yes.
Okay, the next one is a new action or new addition, which again is with respect to the survey for consumer choice, recognizing that it does need to be performed in conjunction with the consumer trust survey, but there were certain call-outs specific that were different. There were certain call-outs for this choice survey that weren't specific to the trust survey, and hence why I created the new role, the new row. And I thought that I had, there is the parenthetical to perform in conjunction with consumer trust.
I think that's fine. Anyone else?
I'm just trying to recollect, and perhaps Steve has his finger on this. Some of this came out of INTA suggestion of looking at the consumer experience, one of the measures being the accuracy as they were coming into the space of being able to search and find the sites that they wanted to. And I recall that we did have a discussion regarding whether or not questions dealing with search engines was appropriate insofar as that's out of the control of the DNS, but I thought that the experience part of it was something that we had talked about retaining as one of, again, the survey questions, including that in the list of those.
So,
yeah, I'm only saying, I'm bringing that up because I would have to go back and look at the earlier notes I have from our earlier discussion of this particular provision to see what all we had discussed, because I know there was a laundry list of, again, of possible subjects for the survey. And this simply has measuring outreach and awareness of the new GTLDs, and then looking in the context of defensive or duplicate registrations, looking at the measure of internal cost, motivation, intent, and satisfaction. It's a little unclear there what we're, if we're talking about satisfaction with the...
Yeah, that, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish, Michael.
Okay. Satisfaction with the defensive process, with the complaint. I think the language here needs to be cleaned up a little bit, and I would actually propose taking this home as homework and coming back with something rather than trying to mull through it here.
Homework is allowed, but I have to ship this off today so that it can be used by the council.
So we do ask.
I still think it's an open question whether we think this document's suitable for distribution outside the working group, don't you?
Yeah, if
we already settled on that.
If we cannot send it, then we can only send the PowerPoint. That's perfectly acceptable.
Mm.
Okay. But Rosemary, were you determined?
Yeah.
I mean, how many more pages do we have in the doc?
Yeah, we've got a couple more, and we've not got anywhere near competition. Okay. So I think the reality is we're just back to the PowerPoint going to council. What do others think? I mean, the beauty of sending the red line, with even with square brackets all around, which we'd have to completely square bracket the whole competition section, is that it's an indication of the amount of work and the sort of issues we're grappling with.
Rosemary, I was going to raise the question. I'm satisfied that if you feel that there's benefit to that, I'll stay on the phone as long as it takes, you know, to get through choice. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, okay, well, that's good, because I do think there is benefit, and I'm happy to stay on the call as well.
So putting aside the homework for a second, Michael Graham's right. The sentence starting with survey questions could at least measure. That sentence should be stopped after outreach and awareness of new TTLDs,
mm-hmm.
period.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't say at least measure. This is coming from Andrew Mack, I believe, from the Costa Rica meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's language that we used in our previous survey for trust.
Okay.
Again, you know, the problem here is we're trying to fill out the survey and contents of it when we haven't even started defining requirements, and that's where the problem lies.
You're right, and yet we did want to seed this thing, because if the advice makes its way to the survey vendors 2 years from now, 3 years from now, we'd love for the survey vendor to say, wow, look at our RFP includes the need to look at things like outreach. Oh, the second set is comma, or a new sentence. You don't need the context of defensive or duplicate. You can just say questions should measure defensive or duplicate registrations and internal cost, motivation, intent, and satisfaction of its registration. So we're splitting that confusing sentence into two, because awareness has nothing to do with whether registrants are doing registrations for defensive purposes and what's their satisfaction about that.
So here's a suggestion. If we take Steve's version on board for purposes of just making this a bit easier to digest, but then we put the whole thing in brackets, because that gives Michael time to do the homework, but allows Barry to send the document to council.
Michael here, I could live with that.
Okay, great. Are you okay with that, Barry?
Absolutely.
Okay. Just excuse me for 1 second. I'm back. Thank you.
And I think with the brackets, then the rest of this would be suitable.
Is this still the survey point?
Yes. Yeah. So I went ahead and bracketed everything out on this line.
Okay, great.
The next one was a change to the three-year target, and that was to more explicitly state the increase in the number of TLDs and IDN scripts or languages other than English relative to 2011. Okay, same for row two. Row three was a new metric, and I believe this was also defined by ENTA, the percentage of IDNs as compared to the total GTLDs in each script or language should be compared to the percentage of people who speak or utilize each particular language or script.
Right. My only comment in here is, and you can carry this out later, Barry, is we're getting sloppy with where we have periods or not. I know.
Yeah, let's not worry about that now.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, otherwise that's fine. I think it reads well.
OK,
Okay. Next one.
We actually, did we say that target, Barry, do our notes reflect that was the, is this just a analysis only, or does this one actually have a target in it?
This was pulled directly from the INTA comments, and they specifically ID'd measure, source, difficulty, target.
Right. Michael here. Steve, I don't think we had a definitive target. We saw the benefits of the new GTLD system being that this would trend closer towards the percentage of speakers in the world over time, rather than set that as a perfect measure.
Right. So if 30% of the planet speaks Chinese, but only 2% of the TLDs were Chinese, you might say that we haven't given them a lot of choices.
Well, initially, but then we would look at the
and we're not measuring
registration. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm completely comfortable measuring it. I believe that the target is subject to howls of laughter from those who think, what were we thinking? Because we're just not going to have a match. There may be 30% of the registrations on the planet in Chinese by 3 years out, but I doubt 30% of the TLDs will be in Chinese or Hindi in the case of India. So I mean, that's the challenge here, is that registrations and traffic might be a better measure as to whether they're using it from these IDN countries. But a raw count of the number of TLDs, I can see I can see where it fits into choice. I'm a Chinese company, and I only have like two choices: the Chinese.com and the Chinese.org. It's not very. It doesn't feel like I have a lot of choice. I guess that's the point you're making.
Well, and the actual thing that we're looking for is, again, an increase over time. Not necessarily towards that ideal figure, although that could tell us something about the demographics of the world, but certainly trending upward. Now we have it said trend closer to the percentage of the population that speaks that script over time. And that was, I believe, adopted simply to keep the focus on that would be an ideal world, that the number of people, the number of IDNs would more closely reflect the number of people speaking that language in the world.
And it's really not speaking as much as writing a language.
That's
one of the other challenges.
Correct.
Of it.
So do we just want to, will we square bracket that for the purposes of today?
Yeah. How about percentage of the population using that script or something?
That's
as
better.
Opposed to speaks it over time. Okay, good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would use, that would be fine. Rather than speaking, that'd be fine.
Yeah. Okay.
So what should I replace speaks with? Using?
Using.
The words speak or utilize, or the word speak should be replaced to use.
Yeah, so that of the population that uses that script over time.
The same with the first column of the metric. You can take out speak or utilize and just say use.
Okay. The next change was, I believe, from the registry stakeholder group and explicitly state registry operators versus registries.
Got it.
Yep.
And then there was discussion, I believe it was from last week, that we wanted to ensure that the message got carried on a little bit further in our italic bars, that for this one is that they that these should be considered jointly, and that each is a potential indicator to defensive registration and not per site. The targets accommodate potential overcounting of defensive registration.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Hey.
Wait a minute, I thought that the entire proxy line goes away because it will only be provided in one parenthetical. So I don't think we need it to be in the italics or the gray block.
Because we deleted it everywhere else, didn't we? Except the one area.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, since it's only going to be on one measure, it doesn't need to be in the gray italics. Let's just take that out.
So through these, remove the do not count privacy proxy across the three. Then we made an edit change to the second row. Relative share of new gTLD registrations already having the same domain and legacy TLDs prior to expansion.
Good. And I don't know that we need who is data. Why is whois data necessary for that?
The whois data was when we were discussing how you determine whether or not a privacy or a proxy registration is a defensive one, and that was looking at the whois data to determine whether or not it's the same server.
Right. But so, Michael, given that we're not worried about privacy proxy, do you think the whois can be stricken out of the data source in the difficulty column?
Yeah, I would think so in this.
Okay. That's what I had.
Right. Only the one place where we are including that in part of the analysis should it be in there.
Down below, right?
Correct.
Rosemary, Barry, it makes sense, everybody?
Yes, no, that's fine.
So strikeout zone and who is at the end of years 1, 2, and 3?
Well, you leave zone. You just take out who is. So it's zone data, or you could put, zone data.
Zone, yep.
And then under the moderate difficulty to snapshot each new TLD zone at end of years 1, 2, and 3.
The next one is to be more specific about automated analysis or online survey of sample of duplicate registrations. Then we get into the other measures of consumer choice, and this change was that we do include privacy proxy registrations or registrations that fail to resolve. I'm sorry, do not count.
Yeah.
Right.
Proxy
registrations. Excellent.
That's fine.
Okay, the next
can I just ask you again about the whois? I have my doubts about taking out the whois. Perhaps I'm wrong. If you only have the zone data, how do you know who registered a domain name?
I have to agree with that as well.
So if the zone says this domain name points to this IP address, and I think we need the whois in order to find out which entity actually registered the domain name in order to find out whether they're identical or not. Only from the zone data, I'm not sure if we can get this.
Tobias, all we're counting are redirects to the same string in a legacy TLD. I don't know why, I don't know for sure, but if I just want to know what does the zone say, isn't a redirect available by walking the zone and trying to resolve the domain name in an automated fashion? It could know that this is simply a redirect to Tobias.com. So Tobias.new is a redirect to Tobias.com. And that's why redirects, we didn't think required any need to look at, because we don't actually care who the person is. The registrant's name isn't important for this purpose.
Okay, yeah. Now I'm with you. And how do you notice a redirect?
You would try to resolve the new domain name, and if it in fact points to the exact same string in a legacy TLD, we were going to call that a redirect to the same name.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So now we get to this survey, which is perhaps where we were thinking about the search engines and so on.
It's all coming back to me.
Yes, me too, Michael.
This survey reference actually should be in that earlier portion of the user survey, I believe, as one of the...
Right. The reason why I created a new one is because I'm trying to stay tried and true to our italic boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, I need to get back up there,
mm-hmm.
was with respect to... Yes, so transparency and clarity of GTLD registry benefits and restrictions so that registrants and users can make meaningful distinctions when choosing TLDs
mm-hmm.
versus the wording on this one didn't seem to fit in there, so I had moved it to the other measures.
Yeah, and I love the way it's worded here. This all makes sense, but there ought to be some way we can convey that as part of a survey described else.
It's in the third column.
A survey described in other metrics, comma.
Yeah.
Measure the perceived ease by which users can locate desired content and websites relative to pre-expansion.
But
is there
I
a way
think
to qualify it that way?
And Rosemary here, I think we make the link with the choice survey noted above in the third column. And suggest we combine it with that survey.
But Rosemary, the one that's just two yeah. above us here is a survey yeah. of registrants, not users. Population.
Right.
The okay. user survey. So,
yeah.
so Barry, is there a way to reference it as part of the user survey described above, elsewhere, unless you could say described on page bracket X bracket.
Yes, Michael here. It was much easier when we were doing each row had a different number. I could just refer to it that way.
Right. And then maybe we need to number these rows when we crank it out so people can refer to it later on.
And then another thing, and we need not do that now, but perhaps as a footnote or someplace else, all of those terms that could be positioned together as a survey, we might bring them together in one place just to emphasize that.
Rosemary, I think that's a good idea at the end of all of this. We've got, you know, one page that talks about the survey. I think that's a good idea. So Barry's given us some words in the chat. So survey of perceived consumer choice.
That was from a while ago.
This one, yeah, okay. So now we're just looking at that and this one. Okay.
And so is there a three-year target that we want to put in here? Is it the same as the survey up above?
What did we say in the survey up above?
Should show improvement on all survey measures.
Yes, I think so. I think trying to be more prescriptive is too difficult. So now I've lost where we're at. Are we going to keep this survey here as written?
I think we should, but reference to say as part of a survey described on page X, comma, measure the perceived ease by which
right.
users
now
can look. Yeah.
I've got it. Thanks, Steve. So are you okay with that, Barry? That little
yes.
introductory phrase? Yep. So then I think, can we go to the last one in consumer choice?
Okay, the last one is website traffic is a potential indicator of trust, exercise choice, and effective competition. User traffic in new GTLDs should be compared to user traffic in legacy GTLDs, which is a sampling, and DNS scrubber Alexa. I was just asking if we had any difficulties to list here.
This was Olivier's area of expertise, wasn't it?
Barry, in the chat, I just tried to fix what you had posted a while ago so that we separated the two sentences, the one on awareness from the one on defensive registration.
Mm-hmm.
I realize it's all still square bracketed, but I encourage you to use what I just pasted.
Yeah, Michael, here, that looks good, Steve.
So with the difficulty, Barry, on this one, I think we should just indicate that it's still under discussion. Because I'm not sure that we've nailed just how difficult this is going to be, unless others on this call are clear.
Rosemary, you're speaking of this last website traffic?
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel pretty confident that it's a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
Your lack of confidence in square bracketing is with respect to what?
Just the difficulty, Steve.
That's a great point.
Difficulty?
I would put in the difficulty column then. Data sources would need to be researched and confirmed.
Yep, okay.
Data sources need to be researched and confirmed, and you can put that in brackets for now in the hopes that we get that done before the advice goes to the board. Because what I'm afraid of is they will not measure all the new GTLDs, and who knows whether statistical sampling will work. Before you jump ahead too far, the target needs to be revised there. The target should say compare traffic share, compare to show growth. Let's see what this is. No, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine the way you have it.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so now with competition, I think we need to just call out in this document that we have not, as a working group, had an opportunity yet to review all the public comments in this area of competition.
How about we just say that the working group is still in the process of analyzing comments on the competition metrics.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's been a long haul, but I think it means we're in good shape for Prague. We've got, you know, coherent documents and well thought out positions, so I really think that was worth it, even though we've not got anywhere near competition. So are there any other business, any final comments?
The only thing I have, Steve, I'm going to send you the PowerPoint real quick, and if you can just take a quick look at the timeline and make sure I got that correct. And then
thanks, Barry.
That off too.
All righty. Well, thanks.
One last item is that the U.S. government just sent me a reply to all those questions I threw at them over lunch, over coffee, and all of the metrics. So I'm going to forward that to the group.
Okay.
Watch for that in your email.
It's great that they're so engaged. It's terrific.
Yeah, it is. It's great.
Mm, really good.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody. That's great. And we'll get through Prague and then reconvene.
Yes, and Steve, while you're out there, I will be listening in, but I will be doing so from a resort somewhere in Michigan, I guess.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, too bad for us, good for you.
And I think I explained it's actually during a rock and roll festival, so any aberrant sounds are not my own.
Are you a performer?
No, but I do work. I'm working with the Americans with Disability Program, people with access needs. So,
great.
I'm rewarded, and then from 10 o'clock at night, I get to go and party with the kids.
Will you enjoy that?
Yes, I'll be listening to this, of course, at 3 in the morning. So,
of course, Michael. Okay, everybody, I've got to run. Bye.
Okay.